Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My people lad who live with their parents till their mid-30s!
All right, thanks, dude.
I moved out of my parents' house. Robbie Maklouf with you on the 5th of July. I guess I can say I'm in for Lawrence Holmes this afternoon. I got Adam Studzinski on the ones and twos back in the studios and a jam-packed show for you. This afternoon, we'll be talking with Evan Altman of Real Cubs Insider. He'll join me at 1 o'clock. And Josh Nelson from Sox Machine is going to join me at 2 o'clock. They will talk Cubs and Sox, respectively, obviously. And we're going to get into some NBA Finals with Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's going to join me at 2:20. Adam, I was legitimately concerned when I connected to the studio because I'm doing it from Milwaukee remotely today at the Fan Studios where I do my weekday job, weekdays 3 to 6 here on the Fan up in Milwaukee, because I connected, you know, via the technology that we have, and I texted you, Adam. I said, I'm ready to go when you are, man. Just let me know that I got this right and you hear me. And then it was like 10 minutes of classic rock concert talk, and I was like, did I connect to the right station? But I am on 670 The Score, right?
Yes.
This is,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
This is, yeah. The sports talk radio station.
We didn't misconnect you to XRT or anything.
Okay,
that's just
good. All
those,
right.
those guys just, you know, they like to go off topic frequently.
And it was really interesting stuff. I was pulled in and with it the whole time. I was just a little concerned that I didn't have the right station. So this is 670 The Score. I am Robbie Maklouf. I'm with you for the next 3 hours. We're gonna get into some White Sox talk with you coming up in the 1 o'clock hour of the show. But while you're out, whether you're out doing something on the 5th of July or whether you're just recovering from the 4th today, feel free to chime in at 312-644-6767. Give me a call or drop in the Rosen Hyundai text line. Same number. That's Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And want to talk some Cubs with you out of the gates after another sweep over the weekend, this time at the hands of the Cincinnati Reds. I want to know, would anything stop you from selling at this point if you're Jed Hoyer with the trade deadline just over 3 weeks away? Because, I do weekday afternoon show up in Milwaukee at the Score sister station, 1250 AM The Fan. And I was talking about this NL Central race from the Milwaukee perspective on my show last week. And I said, this thing ain't over yet. It's pretty close to being over, but it ain't over yet. I'm ready to declare the Pirates dead. I don't think the Reds are anything really to worry about for whoever is in first place in this division and trying to hold everybody else off. I just don't think they have it. I'm even pretty close to ready to calling the Cardinals season dead here in 2021. I wasn't quite ready to declare the Cubs dead after the sweep at the hands of the Brewers that put them six out. But now another sweep, this time at the hands of the Reds. And the Brewers win 2 of 3. They finally lost yesterday, so I guess that's a good thing for Cubs fans. The Brewers finally lost after 11 straight. But even with that, now 8 back, and like I said, just over 3 weeks before the trade deadline. Is there anything that would stop you from selling at this point if you were Jed Hoyer? And this is what Jed Hoyer had to say about it. He said, the honest answer to that is July 30th, when asked when he needs to make a decision on this team and the guys who have pending contracts. He says, I think we have to prepare and we have to have internal discussions a lot, but you don't make a decision on the either side of the ledger before that. But you do have all the time in some ways in terms of preparation. We have to internally make sure we're prepared to do both. We have to make the best decisions for the organization, and we have until the 30th. Obviously, things can happen before then. And that last line, that last sentence right there, obviously things can happen before then, is real cryptic and telling about where Jed Hoyer is at right now. That means that, yeah, they have until the July 30th trade deadline to do something. But if the right offer comes in, I think guys could be had right now. And when I say guys, I'm talking about the three biggest names with contracts expiring at the end of this year with Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez, and Craig Kimbrell as well at the back end of that bullpen. And if a good enough offer came in for any of them right now, I would probably go ahead and pull the trigger. And I don't know who's staying, I don't know who's going, but if you're Jed Hoyer and you have names circled in your notebook as far as who you're planning on trading away, if a good enough offer comes in, I'd go ahead and pull the trigger right now before that team goes shopping somewhere else and spends whatever assets they might send here to Chicago to another team instead and pull that offer off the table. Because you could say that June wasn't as bad as it looked. It was going to be a tough climb. You started a 7-game West Coast trip back on June 3rd. They've only played 8 of their 26 games at home since then. Twice they had night games on a getaway day. Anthony Rizzo didn't play not one game in that Brewers series. Chris Bryant only played one game in that series. And Nico Horner and Matt Duffy were both out since late May. And Trevor Williams is still on the injured list. And Edward Alzolay just came back. So you could look at that and say, hey man, maybe the deck was just stacked against them in the month of June and give these guys time to pull out. Don't pull the trigger on a fire sale just yet. Give these guys some time to pull out. That was a rough June that those guys had to fight through. But I really think that some of these flaws are real. And I'm not pointing out anything that anybody else hasn't pointed out before about this team. Starting pitching is just not carrying their weight. That's starting to take its toll on the bullpen. This offense has been inconsistent for 5 years. Theo Epstein said it was broken after the 2018 season, and they haven't done much to fix it since then. And the offense, in turn, stresses the pitching because they're never pitching with a lead. So these guys are nibbling, trying to play the corners, and then their pitch count is racking up and racking up and racking up, and then you have to go to the bullpen, and now we're seeing the bullpen fall apart. Tapera is now down. It's just a vicious cycle. And this doesn't happen in a vacuum. I just brought up the Milwaukee Brewers, who won 11 in a row before they finally lost yesterday, and I see this team day in and day out, guys. I don't think they're slowing down anytime soon. I don't even think they've played their best baseball yet. Christian Yelich hasn't looked like Christian Yelich all season. The way their pitching isn't going anywhere. The back end of that bullpen isn't going anywhere. And I think their offense, which is bottom third in the league right now, only gets better. And so I think that David Stearns, their president of baseball operations up there, is going to make moves. And probably really smart, savvy moves, because that's been his MO. And you know what? Maybe it's a blessing that this happened now. Maybe it's a blessing that the Cubs... I don't think I've ever quoted Maya Angelou on a radio show. I'm going to go ahead and do it. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And for too long, the Cubs have given us promise and given us something to root for and cheer for until September. And at that point, it's too late to change course or to do anything drastically different. And then this team just falls apart. I wanted them to compete against all odds this year after the trade of Darvish, but I'm starting to realize now it just wasn't meant to be. The sell-off started with Darvish. Let's just go ahead and finish it.
That's the...
And they're not...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sorry, Adam. No, go ahead, man.
So what you're saying is, yeah, this is who the Cubs have been since 2017. They have moments where they explode offensively, like say the entire month of May, and then their bats just completely disappear all at once. So I thought that regression was coming to them after May. I didn't think that they were going to keep, because I mean, plus the guys that were getting it done with was just unsustainable. It felt like you know, Patrick Wisdom wasn't going to keep mashing the ball the way he was, right?
Like, right.
So it's just this regression I felt was coming, and I think that this team, where they're at close to 500, is more representative of what they actually are right now.
So those things I mentioned, the hurdles they had to clear in June, you're not giving them a pass or grading on a curve because of that, Adam.
I think there's obviously a little bit of that in there. I mean, Chris Bryant went into a slump and now is banged up. Anthony Rizzo having his back flare up again. So they'll certainly get those bats back, and the offense should be better than it has been during this 9-game losing streak. But that being said, I mean, their bullpen is completely imploded, and they're starting pitching. I mean, they have, you know, Kyle Hendricks is looking like his normal self. Zach Davies has been better than what he started, but I mean, Jake Arrieta is just bad right now. And then after that, I mean, their rotation is completely, it's barely too deep at this point.
Dude, Arrieta is a shell of himself. Like, I'm watching that guy. It reminds me of what this team once was and everything that we were hoping that it could be and never really quite lived up to those hopes and dreams, Adam. And here's the thing. Ultimately, here's the thing. Let's say you're not ready to be a seller yet. As I ask, what if anything, could stop you from being a seller at this point if you were Jed Hoyer? 312-644-6767. Get in on the conversation via phone or text. Let's say you're not there yet. Let's say you don't want them to be sellers. Do you really think they're going to be buyers? And I think most of us know at this point that the answer to that is no. As far as adding something significant, difference makers, game changers, I'm not expecting that. So what's the end game? Do we really want to go into September with this group of guys? Let's say between now and the trade deadline on the 30th, these guys rally and get within 3-4 games of first place in the NL Central. Do we really want to ride that hope into September again to watch this team fall apart again, to watch this offense disappear again, and then get nothing for Bryant and or Rizzo and or Baez this offseason when they walk away in free agency? I don't want any of those guys to leave. I've said a number of times in my hosting stints here on The Score that the sentimental side of me and what those guys gave me as a Cubs fan and winning the World Series in 2016, I'd probably let my heart get the best of me and be dumb enough to just, let's give those guys lifetime contracts. Like, seriously, I don't want any of them to leave. But I also, I have an eye on what's going on and what reality is for this Cubs team. And I know that at least one or two of those guys isn't going to be a Cub next year in all likelihood. And I don't want to get nothing for them. So like I said, maybe it's a blessing that instead of falling apart in September and October, the Cubs showed us who they really were in June. I'm ready. I don't like it. I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm ready. I'm ready for the Cubs to sell right now. And if I put myself in Jed Hoyer's chair, I don't know that there's anything that could change that between now and the trade deadline, unless the Ricketts come to me and say, go do whatever you got to do to win a World Series this year. There are no limits on what you can spend or what you can give up at the trade deadline. If that happens, okay. But that ain't happening. That is simply not happening. So what's the end game? If we're not buying, if we're not really going for a World Series here this year, what's the end game? To just give these guys a farewell tour in the second half of the season after the All-Star break? Like, that's cool and sentimental and all, but I'm trying to do what's best for this organization if I'm the president of baseball operations. Would anything stop you from selling at this point if you were Jed Hoyer? 312-644-6767. Let's get in Nick in Rockford. You're on with Rami Makhlouf on The Score. What's up, Nick?
Hey, I've been a Cub fan for 54 years, and I've watched these kids come into their own and suffered through 2013, 14, and finally, in 15, they start playing, and then 16, they won the World Series. And I love them, like you said. We hate to see them go, but Leo DeRocher back in the 60s, he said, back up the truck and load them up. And that's what we have to do. We have to bite the bullet. I would definitely, like you said, get something for them now, and let's start. Let's start over. I would put Hayward on the bench and not play him, but keep him around, obviously, because we're going to pay him anyways. Nobody's going to want him, and he can help the young kids coming in. If we even decided not to sell, what are we going to do with pitching? I mean, we're not going anywhere.
Right.
I mean, we don't have – I mean, Milwaukee is the team to beat, because if they get the, if they get into the playoffs, they've got three strong pitchers that could cause some problems with any team. And we don't have it. And we have to admit that. And, you know, I mean, Anthony Rizzo is my wife's favorite player, and we love the guy. But, you know, it's time to cut the strings and let some of these people go. We can't afford them. We can't afford to give a real long contract to Bryant. We've done that before, and we've got burnt. And so we just need to start. Look at Milwaukee. I mean, they have mediocre players, a good pitching staff, and they're playing great ball. So that's
Nick. Thanks for the call, Nick. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know that I'd go so far as to say that they have mediocre players up in Milwaukee, especially not on that pitching staff. What they have are they don't have the name value of obviously some of the guys on the Cubs do. You have four guys who've gotten MVP votes in that Cubs lineup on a day-to-day basis. But what the Brewers have done, and they're very savvy in the way that they construct their rosters, they have really deep, versatile rosters. They've used almost 60 players in big league games this year because of injuries and because of shuttling pitchers back and forth between AAA Nashville and their big league club in Milwaukee. They're real, real smart and savvy about how they construct and use a roster up in Milwaukee and about how they acquire talent and the talent that they do acquire. And they've done a good job of putting it together up there. And I agree with Nick when he says if that team gets in the playoffs, they could make some noise, because pitching takes a lot of the randomness out of the MLB postseason, which can be very, very random. But asking you about the Cubs right now, and would anything stop you from selling at this point if you were Jed Hoyer? 312-644-6767. Give me a call or get in the Rosen Hyundai text line. Robbie Maklouf with you on a Monday afternoon on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All along, our hope has been that we would be on the buy side, and certainly the way we played in May and where we are in the standings, that would certainly be the decision. That said, I do feel like we can't have some arbitrary cutoff where that's decided. So obviously, like right now, there's no question we're not in that position. We don't want to be in that position, and I hope we play well all month. But I think ultimately there's no cutoff. And I think we have to continue to make the best decisions. But just to be clear, I love the way this team's playing. The energy has been fantastic. Obviously, the bullpen has really stepped up, and certainly it's our hope to be on the good side of those transactions, so to speak, where we're adding and really pushing to win this year. I think that's what everyone you know, from ownership on down really wants.
There's Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer. That was 1 month ago today, talking about where they'd like to be between then and the trade deadline. Obviously, June did not go their way. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday afternoon after the 4th of July weekend. And asking, would anything stop you from selling at this point if you were Jed Hoyer? 312-644-6767. Give me a call or drop a text in the text line. And had similar things to say a couple days ago when talking about where this team is at now, but also tagged it with, we have until the 30th. Obviously, things can happen before then. I think that says that if a good enough offer comes in for whoever they plan on moving between now and the trade deadline, that they will pull the trigger. And I'd be okay with that. I don't see this team being buyers. And if they're not being buyers, then they might as well be sellers, because this group ain't winning a World Series. And better that they show us this now than what they've done the last few years, where they look good until September or October. And then the real Cubs come out. So I say go ahead and sell, and I don't think there's anything that's going to change my mind between now and then. A few texts came in while I was talking about this in the first segment. This from the 480. The Cubs' opponents are looking pretty weak this month. They have six games against the D-backs. That's kind of what I'm worried about. I'm kind of worried about some fool's gold popping up here and convincing the Cubs that maybe they do have something and not selling, and then one or two or all three of those guys between Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant walking away for nothing in the offseason. That's worst case scenario for me. Let's get in Kevin on the north side. You're on with Rami Makhlouf on the Score. What's up, Kev?
Hey, good afternoon. Happy fourth, or happy fifth now, sorry. Anyway, I fully believe that Jed should be a seller. Get what you can for Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez. I think you keep Contreras, but I think you got to get something for these guys because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's, you know, and I'm talking about quality AAA players that can step in sooner than later and make an impact on this team, not single-A garbage like we got for Darvish that are playing in South Bend. You mm-hmm. know, somebody that you can build around quicker than later. Let's say the Cubs go 8-2 over the next 10, the Brewers go 2-8, and they do climb within 2.5 or 3 games of first place. Even winning this division, isn't that really the equivalent of being dubbed the tallest midget? You're not going to be playing Colorado, Arizona if you get to the playoffs. You're going to be playing the Giants or the Padres or the Dodgers. And if you go against the Dodgers, you're going to be looking at Kershaw, Bauer, maybe Urias, and you're going to be countering with what? Hendricks, Alzolay, and Arrieta. Does that do anything for you? I mean, and think about this, and it's sad because if you were to take those three aforementioned Dodgers starters in a best-of-five series, and you countered with Hendricks and Darvish and Lester, that kind of changes everything, doesn't it? And doesn't it put a whole different perspective on things?
Yes.
And you think to yourself, hey, even if we get five out of Lester, we've got one of the most proven bullpens in baseball. Hey, we got a shot at this, you know? But, I mean, I just don't see them doing anything once they get to the playoffs, because it's just the West Coast trip was a disaster, and that's ultimately who they're going to be playing if they make the playoffs. Let's face it, no wild card teams are going to be coming out of the Central this year. And, I think it's just going to be another situation where they're going to be scoring one or no runs in the postseason, and they're going to be 3-out or 4-out even if they do advance past the first wild card round.
Kevin, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And he makes some great points there. Now, I've mentioned already, Major League Baseball playoffs can be very, very random. You would think 7-game series more times than not are going to give you a true outcome, and they do in the NBA, because performance from the regular season to the postseason is usually pretty consistent in the NBA. In Major League Baseball, you have so many swings in either direction, so many peaks and valleys over the course of a season when you're talking about a lineup. What takes a lot of the randomness out of a Major League Baseball postseason is great starting pitching. The Brewers have that. I agree with what he says about who comes out of the NL Central to a degree. The reason I'd give the Brewers any chance to make some noise in the postseason is because of the great starting pitching that they have. And if you can shut down a lineup, well, you can win 3 or 4 games and come out with a series victory. I don't see that with this Cubs team. I don't see that. And Kevin brings up a great point. Wouldn't it be nice to throw Hendricks, Darvish, and Lester at somebody? And even, yes, Lester is a little bit older. You're not going to get as many innings out of him as you would have previous. But with this bullpen, that wouldn't be so bad, would it? That would be all right if you had that, if you had the combination of Lester and then you hand it off to the bullpen for three or even four innings on a day where he can't give you more than five. That's fine. Because Darvish and Hendricks are doing their thing at the top end of the rotation and taking some of the load off that bullpen. This has been a vicious cycle for the Cubs in the month of June that kind of showed you who they really were. The lineup wasn't consistent. Put an already subpar starting rotation behind the eight ball day after day because they're never pitching with leads. Now they're nibbling the corners and trying to work the edges. Their pitch counts are racking up, and the one strength you had on this team in the bullpen starts to fall apart because you had to go to them way, way too much. You really going to fix that between now and July 30th? I don't see it. I don't see them even wanting to fix that between now and July 30th. Any run that they make now will be a mirage. And they'll make a bunch of money. Wrigley Field will stay full if they can stay in the race, and you have recognizable names running out there in Baez, Bryant, Rizzo, and the rest. And hey man, I'm headed to Wrigley Field on July 24th for the first time since COVID. Part of me kind of hopes those guys are still around so that I can see them one last time before this fire sale starts. But I see what this is. I know what it is. And I'm not going to get pulled back in again. You're not going to get me with a banana in the tailpipe. Not again. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. This team is not good enough to win a World Series. And they don't even have the intangibles that might give a team that's not good enough to win the World Series a shot at the random of being a beneficiary of the randomness of Major League Baseball's postseason. They just don't. They don't have the formula, man. And good that they showed it to us now and not 3 months from now. And then those guys walk away for nothing after what turned out to be a meaningless second half of the year. From the 312 in the Rosen Hyundai text line, they need to get at least one MLB-ready prospect for Kimbrel, the same for KB, and some decent prospects for Rizzo and Baez. Not everybody, right? We're not getting rid of everybody, are we? It's no, not going to be Rizzo and Bryant and Kimbrel. I'm pretty much resigned to, but those other three guys, we're keeping one or two, aren't we?
I don't see a reason. If you decide to sell, there's no reason to keep Kimbrel. What are you trying to save games for at that point, right?
Yeah,
but so yeah, I think he would definitely be gone. I think of Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez, I would take Bryant of the three because I think he's just the best player, right? I mean, I know he went through a slump before he got hurt here, but you know, Chris Bryant, I don't know why some Cubs fans decided that he's not worth the time.
I don't talk baseball with Cubs fans who don't understand how good Chris Bryant is. You're wasting
exactly.
my time.
So KB, I think, is the best of all of them, and he needs to stick around if you're keeping at least one. Rizzo, I mean, he's still a good hitter, but these back problems happen every year. It doesn't stop him from having a good season overall. I understand that, but he's getting older. I think you let him, you try to get something for him. You know, you can sell him as a rental player to somebody. And Javier Baez, I mean, the dude just can't stay consistent at the plate. He's a great fielder. He's exciting. And like, I understand that, like, he's kind of in a way like the face of the team. He's the guy everyone loves because he's such a flashy player. But the dude still swings at pitches outside the zone every single game. Like, it's unbelievable. I don't know why anyone ever throws him a ball in the zone. he will swing. He has the most predictable at-bats. I remember last week, I can't remember exactly which game it was. I was working the game. I think it was maybe last Sunday. He was up, bases loaded, two outs in the ninth, and it's one out at that point, maybe. And I was like, I guarantee he's going to strike out here. And yeah, three inside fastballs, three swings and misses, down. Done. He's so frustrating, and I don't think that you want to give that guy $150 million to come up and swing at pitches outside the zone all the time.
No, he's a mistake hitter. He takes and he's one of the best in the league at taking advantage of mistakes. I don't think anybody throws Javi Baez strikes on purpose at him. I don't think that happens because you're right. You and I see it. There's no way major league pitchers and pitching coaches and catchers, like the brain trust that gets together to decide what they're going to throw at Javi Baez. I don't think any of them are willingly or voluntarily throwing strikes to Javi. I think those are mistakes that he is very good at identifying and very good at putting out on Waveland Avenue. I think that's what happens when Javi Baez is hitting the baseball. That's not to take anything away from him. Like, there have been a lot of great Major League Baseball hitters, and especially power hitters, who aren't the most disciplined, but make a mistake to them, and they're going to make you pay for it 9 times out of 10. Let's get in one more call on this. It'll be Todd and Dwight. You're on with Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score. What's up,
hey,
Todd?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, buddy. Sure. Happy 4th weekend.
Same to you.
The point I was going to make as quick as I can is the people that would want to trade, they're not who the other GMs are going to be calling for. GMs aren't stupid. I mean, it's just not the dumb guy in our fantasy league that we can take advantage of. The guys people are going to want are the ones we won't give up. We're not going to trade Timo Horner. We're not going to trade Altuve. We're not going to trade Mia, the catcher. I mean, those are the ones that are going to get you the top-tier prospects. Otherwise, you're just going to get guys like you got for Darvish because Ryan Rizzo, they're injury-prone. And they're out of luck here. And then Baez and Turris, we love them, but they're 220 hitters who strike out all the time. Try selling that to a GM, you know, in Cleveland or San Diego or whatever. They're going to be like, yeah, we'll give you a mid-tier Class A. I mean, we love them. So my point is, I think they're more valuable to the Cubs than any other team, the guys you're talking about trading. And, you know, because you can just, the fans love them. You even said you want to go see them one more time. You can sell it, like, to the team. We love our guys. We're going to stick with them. We're going to hope to re-sign them. And then you get the compensatory pick if they do walk and go someplace else and free up a bunch of money. But the reality is, it's not 2002 anymore where you get 4 top-tier prospects for a guy in a walk here. You're going to get exactly what you got for Darvish. And like I said, they're more valuable to Chicago because, A, we love them, and we know that, you know, we're not hometown stupid in this case. I think we're hometown smart. You know what I mean? So sometimes the statistics do lie. Thanks, buddy. Have a great day.
Todd, appreciate the call. I disagree to an extent with what he said there about the value of those guys. I think all three, in Baez, Bryant, Rizzo, are very good ball players, and I think teams around Major League Baseball would recognize that and will recognize that and dish out big money when those guys are available in free agency this offseason. But he alluded to what they got for Yu Darvish, and that's what concerns me more than anything, is that the value of young, affordable, controllable talent has skyrocketed across Major League Baseball because fewer teams are actually trying to win now than we've seen at any point in Major League Baseball. From year to year, you have like 5 to 7 teams tops that are actually going for a World Series. And the other 25, 27 teams are holding on to all their young, affordable, controllable talent. And so the premium on them goes up. And in the trade market, the value for a veteran, especially a veteran with an expiring contract, tends to go down. So I think a lot of teams will see the value in a Baez, a Bryant, or a Rizzo, and contenders will dish out big money for that come this offseason. But I do worry about the trade market. I worry about the trade market a little bit and what you can get for those guys between now and the trade deadline because of what we've seen the trade market turn into the last 4 years across Major League Baseball. I mean, It has just come to a grinding halt, and like I said, the value and the premium on young controllable talent has only gone up. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Interesting conversation on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with Jake Berger. Wanted to bring that your way this afternoon. Rami Makhlouf in with you on a Monday after 4th of July weekend on Chicago's Sports Talk Radio Station, AM 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday afternoon as you all recover. I think everybody's probably just sitting in the house recovering today, cooling off from 4th of July weekend. We'll talk some Cubs with Evan Altman of Cubs Insider coming up at 1 o'clock. I want to talk some White Sox with you after that. And Josh Nelson, host of the Sox Machine podcast, is also going to be joining me at 2 o'clock. But speaking of those White Sox, earlier this weekend, Saturday to be exact, they had a chance to catch up with Jake Berger shortly after he was called up to the big league club by the Chicago White Sox. Bring you that right here, right now on AM 670 The Score.
Obviously, I played with him in 2017. We did everything together because we roomed together. We went to low A together, flew together everywhere. And, you know, to see him go through what he went through from 2017 to now is it's pretty spectacular to see where he is right now, because he's been through a lot. And, you know, tons of up and downs, more downs than up. But, you know, this season to see him start out and, you know, in the beginning of the season, it started as like it's good to be back. It's fun to be playing baseball. And then you kind of saw that shift in the season where it was like, man, you know, I can do this. I can be a big leaguer again.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm David Hall with Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. That was the voice of Gavin Sheets talking fondly about his teammate Jake Berger, who he has come up through the White Sox system with, and who wasn't happy for Jake Berger last watching him come through, get his first major league hit, hear the emotion in his voice postgame. And let's go out to the guest hotline, sponsored by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And that is where we find the man of the moment, Jake Berger. Good morning and congratulations, Jake.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
How'd you sleep last night?
I slept like a baby. You know, the night before, I couldn't get any sleep. And then finally came off the adrenaline high a little bit and went to bed.
Jake, we'll talk about your first hits and we'll talk about your first experience, but I want to know that feeling, that sensation, that thought process when you first stepped into the batter's box for your first at bat. What's going through your mind? How do you block out all the emotion and get through that at bat and do what you end up doing?
Honestly, it was just breathe. You know, Steve Finley, I talk with him a lot, and he's like, make sure you take, like, as many deep breaths as you can. That's what everybody else is telling me. So that's kind of how I got outside of the emotions and just play baseball. But, you know, you step into the box, and there's nothing like it. I mean, legs are jello, and, you know, you can't really feel your body. And so I definitely wanted to take a pitch just to, like, feel the moment for a sec. And so, yeah, I mean, it was – there's nothing like it. There's nothing like that feeling.
So, Jake, when you have the success that you had last night and everybody kind of starts to learn more about your story, people are amazed that it's hard enough to come back from one major injury in an athlete's career, but you did it twice. You did it twice. And to have two Achilles injuries to the extent that they were, you know, set you back. And how would you describe how the journey was and what was the most difficult part to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's a struggle. And mentally, I think it's harder than the physical side of it. You know, constantly not sure if you're ever going to play baseball again. Not sure if you're ever going to step on a field again. And so, you know, I think that's probably the hardest part, seeing all your friends have success and you're really happy for them, but you just don't know if you're going to get back to playing with them. So that's definitely the hardest part. And it was a long journey, but I'm happy I went through it.
You mentioned, and by the way, Jason Benetti, the great Sox broadcaster, asked you some really good questions in the post game, and you mentioned the support you got from your parents and how they were there for you and how they said don't give up and taught you that. How much of that, you know, having breakfast with them and the rest of the family today, were you appreciative of where you come from and who you are?
No, I give everything to my parents. You know, they helped me get through those tough times. If it wasn't for them, I probably would have quit. So, you know, I got to give everything to them and for constantly believing in me and constantly just supporting me and seeing my talent for what it is. So, you know, you lose sight of that when you're hurt. So just like having that whole moment with them was really special.
So who was there last night, and how far of a trip did they have to make, and how much of a scramble was it to get the right tickets? And there's that other element besides just focusing on the fact, okay, I'm playing third base tonight, but I would imagine that those are some pleasant distractions to have to deal with.
Yeah, no, it was good. My mom, dad, and sister came, so just my direct family, and I think it's like an eight-hour drive from St. Louis, so not too bad, and I got the tickets for them, and I still know, like, they're excited for tonight even, you know. It's just like they saw what I went through firsthand, and so it's cool to share that with them.
When you got the word in the minor leagues that they were going to start playing you at second base, how excited did you get? How nervous did you get knowing that you're a third baseman? They're thinking, well, we have a need at second base. We're thinking about watching him, see how he does there. And what was that transition like? I mean, how difficult was all that to mentally absorb and then physically go do?
It wasn't too hard because it's an infield spot. I think if you go out to the outfield, it's a little different. But you know, you get a little more time at second base, and I don't know. It's just it was cool that, you know, they're trying to work me out at different positions. You know, that's always a good sign. So you know, that made me feel pretty good.
How were you with your back to the first baseman making that pivot? How hard was that?
Yeah, that's a little different. You know, it's you're used to your momentum going towards first base at third, and you know, at second is a little different. So just kind of feeling that out, definitely. So it's interesting for sure.
Talking with Jake Berger, the White Sox third baseman, who had his first major league hit last night in Detroit against the Tigers here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. With Bruce Levine, I'm David Haw. Jake, so it's 2011. You're a kid growing up in St. Louis. You're at the World Series Game 6. Tony La Russa is the manager of that Cardinals team. Tony La Russa, the Hall of Famer. And now he's the guy putting your name in the lineup card. When you walked into the clubhouse last night, when you were in the dugout, did you have a pinch-me-is-this-real moment when you looked over and you saw Tony La Russa as your manager?
Yeah, I mean, that was special. It was really cool to have that experience with him. And I still haven't talked to him about Game 6, but I'm going to at some point. But, you know, at this point, we're focused on winning games for the White Sox. So, you know, that it makes it simple just doing that.
Jake, there's a lot of White Sox pride going on at the major league level. And I imagine at your level, where you just came from as well, with so many players being drafted, signed, drafted, and now playing at the major league level, coming through the system. Is it noticeable when you have conversations with guys that were with you in the minor leagues that, hey, we're not only having a chance to play in the major leagues, but something really special may be happening here in this clubhouse, in this organization?
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Just having that experience with the guys that you come up with and the younger guys in the clubhouse, and just, you know, being a part of a pennant race. It's always exciting. But hey, guys, I gotta cut it short.
Sure.
Super Joe's telling me to go outside, take some ground balls. So sorry about that.
All right. Well, best
of luck
for joining us.
Yeah, Jake, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, when the coach calls, you go take ground balls. You cut off the radio interview and go right away. That was Jake Berger with the guys on Hit and Run Saturday morning over the 4th of July weekend. Rami Makhlouf here with you on Monday as you all recover. And that's a really cool story, and that's kind of been the story of the White Sox this year, of unlikely heroes one after the other stepping up. And kind of what I want to talk about with you White Sox fans coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, just how sustainable the way that the White Sox are winning this year is. But that's a conversation for the 1 o'clock hour. Evan Altman of Cubs Insider is going to join me coming up at the top of that 1 o'clock hour. And I saw his tweet last night. The night is filled with the boom of fireworks, the wail of sirens, and the crooning of Color Me Bad. So that's what it sounded like in Chicago last night, I guess. Got Adam Stasinski back in the studios. I'm here in our Milwaukee studios. I live in Milwaukee. I do a weekday afternoon show on the Score sister station, 1250 AM The Fan. Adam, was till what time were fireworks going on in your neighborhood last night, or could you hear them at least?
Oh, dude. All right. So first of all, I have a second gig at a bar in Wrigleyville, right? I had to go in there last night.
Oh, God.
So I left to go in at about 9:30, and my neighborhood on the northwest side sounded like a war zone. It was insane.
Yeah.
Like, people all around me were lighting fireworks. And so anyway, long story short, I'm heading home from closing the bar. It's a little after 2 o'clock in the morning, and I still am hearing fireworks when I got home. So it was at least 2:30 in the morning that people were lighting them off, but probably longer than that.
I've turned over a new leaf, Adam Studzinski and 670 The Score listeners. I used to rail against all fireworks. I used to just say we should just be done with fireworks. They're dumb. It's just loud lights and bright lights and loud explosions. I don't even know how you're entertained by this or having fun. But after COVID, I'm like, I'm more just let people have their fun. You know what I mean, Adam? Even if it's not my fun, I'm just more hands off. And if it's not my thing, whatever. If it's your thing, enjoy. And even fireworks to a degree. But can we draw some parameters here? Can we draw some lines, please? Because yesterday I went to walk my dog before the fireworks start, Adam, because my dog, like a lot of dogs, freaks out from fireworks, right? So I go out at 4 in the afternoon. 4 in the afternoon. Broad daylight. Couldn't be brighter outside. Sun is shining. Skies are blue. You can't even see fireworks, dude. But there you are. There you are, lighting off your fireworks at 4 in the afternoon, fireworks, dude. And then, like you said, Adam, my neighborhood in Milwaukee, it's a little neighborhood by the it's called Bayview, and it's called Bayview because it's right on the lake. It's right on the bay. And my house is probably just about 2 or 3 miles from the lake, and must just be the way that sound travels. I think I'm hearing every fireworks display from every neighborhood along a lakeside for a good 50 miles, dude. And it's going on till like, I fell asleep on my couch, got up at like 1:30 to go to bed, and it still sounded, like you said, like a war zone. Have your fireworks. Fine. Can we just draw some parameters, though? Can we have like wait until the sun goes down, and then, I don't know, maybe 10:30 at night, shut that crap down? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
how long do you need to hear these explosions and see these bright lights in the sky?
I'm with you. Yeah, if you're doing it in broad daylight, that's what really annoys me, because
what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point of that? That just, come on. And then, yeah, I get it. 4th of July, light fireworks after dark, all you want until like midnight or 1 a.m. at the absolute latest. At that point, though, like, shut it down. I get that, you know, a lot of people had the day off. I get it. So you're up late.
Adam and I had to work today.
Yeah, I had to work. So, you know what? Be considerate.
Exactly. And you told me you had a wedding over the weekend. I heard at the end of the guys before I came out, you didn't tell me you officiated a wedding over there. I didn't know that you were a wedding official. Wow.
This was the first one I ever did. So,
really?
Yeah, two of my friends from college, they've been together forever, and they finally are getting married. And yeah, they asked me to be their officiant. So that's what I did.
Is this something that, like, you want to do, or you just did it as a favor to friends?
No, they just...
Like, is this another side gig along with the bar?
You know, it might develop into a side gig, but for right now, it's just a one-time thing. Like, I don't plan on... I mean, if some of my other friends want me to do it in the future, like, I'm ordained now, right? So I'm a man of the cloth. Well, not really. It's you know, the internet guys gave me the ability.
It's
for
one
it.
Of those internet things. I was thinking about making that as, because I do stand up comedy on the side. I was thinking like that could be my thing, Adam. Like, I could be the funny wedding officiant and like come up with a whole routine. But nobody's looking for that, right?
I can help you out. I got some laughs.
You got the website that I can go to
and become a
wedding officiant? All right. Give that to me during the break. Right after that break, we're going to talk with Evan Altman of Cubs Insider. You're listening to Rami Makhlouf on a Monday after your 4th of July weekend on Chicago Sports Talk Radio Station AM 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.